guard your steps. Another word, watch your step. We are using this sometimes, especially I'm using it once I do the job as Brother Steve or Brother Alex is doing, when we are running those cables and, you know, we are seeing, especially maybe elderly brethren coming in and say, watch your step. You know, it's you have to watch out where you're going, because this is not what you may think. This is not smooth. Guarding our steps. Some of us like hiking. We go to the mountains and we prepare our footwear really well. For those who don't, I actually was witnessing in as we are coming back from one of the conventions in Rocky Mountains. We visited beautiful glacier, and we saw one lady who hopped on the bus and visited the actual glacier in a mini skirt and the flip-flops. I never saw anybody rattling their legs so badly. It was so cold, and she was not prepared. She didn't watch her steps. Others were having proper footwear, proper clothing, and guarding themselves, guarding their steps. If you are walking in the snow, we are putting different boots on. We are running, we are putting our running shoes. You don't want to run in the boots. So we are paying attention on our steps, what we are doing, how we are working. Those who are hiking on the more difficult trails, they're actually walking and looking where to put the next step, not to trip over maybe some stone which is very slippery, or twist your ankle or something. Guarding our steps. The subject which I choose to share with you, brethren, is from Ecclesiastes 5:1. It's talking about guarding our steps, but for a certain particular journey, certain particular place where we are going. Like we gave an example with the mountain. It says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God. And that's what we will try to talk a little bit about. What is the house of God? We touched on the subject a little bit yesterday. And as the building, the King Solomon, he built a temple. But he was given very specific instructions, very detailed instructions. We remember what happened to Israel once they got instructions how to build the tabernacle before the temple was built. Very detailed descriptions. How many, what kind of material to use. We knew that everything had to be gold, but, you know, God is not the God of burden. He is God, loving God. And he put that material so it was light wrapped up with the gold around. Then in the temple, we had the pure gold, pure materials to show everything. And those instructions were very detailed, given to King Solomon by his father. And let's read the scriptures. We'll read quite a few scriptures today, but that's what it's supposed to be. It's the most powerful words we can read in the Bible. Are those which are says, it is written. It's not mine. It is written. So that's very important. 1 Kings 6:2. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length therefore was 60 cubits, and breadth therefore 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. All the measurements and everything was there. We're talking about that scripture from Ecclesiastes 5:1, which was given to us by one of the wisest men who lived. He had more wisdom than anybody on the earth. Nowadays, if we want to get information because we want to learn something, we turn to Google, to YouTube or something. I must say, in my profession, I always use the internet and so on very often to gain the knowledge and put it to work. But I notice one thing is very dangerous, because there is not only information which is useful, but there's also sometimes very misleading information. Sometimes put just by negligence, the people did not know what they are talking about, but they want to help. But sometimes I found even sometimes they put the wrong information in purpose, adversary. So what it would be like if we'll have on our side somebody who is really wise and knows his wisdom and is so big? Well, we don't have a Solomon next to us, but we have his books he wrote, and there is lots of wisdom in it. So let's follow that advice from him to guard our steps as we go to the house of the Lord. And we talked about those details. We'll use a little example from our friends, Roman Catholics. If we'll get into some of the temples and we'll look at the details, how it looks inside, how much details are in those ornaments and everything. It's very carefully done. We are not, I would say, lucky enough to see on our own eyes the Temple of Solomon. It probably would be way more beautiful and way more interesting to see how God put everything together for our knowledge and things to come in the future. But there is lots of those details. And as we read in that 1 Kings 6:2, all the things were done very carefully, based on how it's supposed to be built. So as we look at that temple as a physical house with so many details, I think we can put it on as well to the transfer it to the spiritual house of the Lord as well. But what would that be? Let's read 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. And this is some explanation in the scripture, along with some warnings again. It's 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17. Know ye not that ye are temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Very powerful word. I was very fortunate to listen Brother John's discourse. It was showing how careful we should be to deal with those who are named temple of God. And we have to be careful, because the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. And such a scriptures brings us our thoughts to the construction of the temple built of Solomon. And let's pay attention to the relationship between that image, that building of that temple, and earthly stones, and those living stones to build that spiritual house, that spiritual temple of God. In Matthew 18, chapter and 20th verse, is saying, for Matthew 18, 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is the gathering. Sometimes we may hear that, so who is going away? Well, the hands are showing up. Oh, well, so not going to be many of us. Let's cancel the meeting. If there is two or three, Lord, it's going to be there. Are we eager to come to the meeting with the Lord? Well, he said just two or three. It doesn't have to be 10, 15. and we are experiencing it at the end of the times where the number of brethren are shrinking, and we should starve to be at the meetings, do everything what we can. It's not always possible for health reasons or some others, but it shouldn't be a custom. We should be with the Lord as much as possible, and we have His promise that He will be with us if we will gather in His name, even two or three, because it's a big joy to know that the Lord is with us. And if He is with us, the Satan has no access to us. Let us attend those gatherings and meetings. Let's ask the Lord that He will be with us during our meetings. And that was advice from my grandparent. He gave me the advice, if we're talking about, I was young once he passed away, I was about 12 years old. But he told me, if you want the answer, what should you do? Think about that Lord is right next to you. Would you do it? Think about you're talking to somebody else. Would you say those things if the Lord is standing right there? It was advice to the young boy, but to fit this to our lives, daily lives. But if we are between the Lord's people, and we'll believe in those words which was said by our Lord, then those words are even more powerful, that we should guard our steps once we are coming to the house of the Lord, because He is there. And we should remember that once we want to express our opinion, once we maybe want to push and force our ways. Would we do that if you actually see our Lord with our spirit, not spiritual, but physical eyes? Let's open our spiritual eyes because the Lord is there. So what do we need to have that temple of God? And what does it mean for us? One of the, if we may have favorite books in the Bible, one of the favorite books in the Bible, I believe, are Psalms. These are beautiful, beautiful book, which is written mostly by David from his love to God. In the Psalm 27:4, he's saying, "One thing I have, I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after." What he desired. You know, it's not that, oh, I'm thinking about it. It's desire. I really, really want it. And if you remember just, you know, once we were maybe children or so, we really want something. That I really want it. Then maybe, you know, our dear sisters are growing more mature than we are sometimes older, but our toys are getting more expensive only. And we really want that car. Right? And we are thinking about it, and we are doing this or that, or we want to have this or that. And this is what David said. One thing. He didn't have many. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. He's desiring and seeking after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's going nicely along with our scriptures we said yesterday. We are rejoicing to be in the house of the Lord. That's our desire, to be there. And going on in that verse, to behold the beauty of the Lord and the acquire in His temple. So this is not only coming in and be there. I can understand somehow people would like to go sometimes to the beautiful buildings because it's so nice in there. The surroundings are beautiful, paintings and You know, that big organ, once they will hear the sound, whoa, this is something. This is nice to be there. But David is saying, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in his temple, going there to learn about the Lord, about his deep need. We are going there to the house of the God, to recognizing the ways of God, what he requires from us. What can we do in his temple? We can learn to recognize his ways. We talk about his plan and promises, developing spiritual and in knowledge, changing our character. As we read in the Psalm again, 73, 16 to 17. Psalm 73, 16 to 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Remembering the man who was riding on the chariot, he was reading Isaiah, what he knew about it. He was not really happy. It was too painful. And for us, it's also too painful. Sometimes we have scriptures, we have passages, we have a letter, we have a prophecy, and it's too painful for us. We cannot understand it. And let's read it again with the whole scripture, 16:17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Couldn't understand it. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood I there am. Understanding those things, it comes in the house of the Lord, between the Lord's people. It comes from studies. It comes from the discourses, from discussions. This is the place where the pain of not understanding is going away, because he is revealing it to us through his Spirit. Jeremiah 17, verse 12 to 13, we read, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Those gatherings at the Lord's house are those places where we are gaining the living water. Brother Sean, he drove us around, showing us the little bit of the desert. The water is really, really precious in here. We have abundance of that in British Columbia and Vancouver, where it's raining all the time. But now here you can understand those words, what they mean. And this is not just the dripping irrigation. It's not like it was in the past, that the priest came in, he opened up, read one scripture maybe, and he said, this is the all of the word God's word for today. And people didn't have God's word in their home. This is not a drip of water once we meet. It's a fountain of living waters. And we have so much of it, that we should be thankful to our Heavenly Father. Let's not forsake, do not leave and forsake the meetings. As for us, that's the living water. It's a life-giving. It will help us to go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, later Friday. This is where we are getting the strength up to the time of the meeting with the Lord and his people. We can find the true wisdom during those meetings, during those gatherings in the Lord's house. Ephesians 3:10, we read, to the intent that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. By the church. And we are not talking building. We are talking about gathering together and study his word. God will be with us if we will be close to him. And in difficulties, he will take care of us. Let's read in the 1 Kings 6, chapter 11 to 13. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes, and execute my judgment, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spoke unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people of Israel. The promise of God. God will never break his promises. We'll break the promise, but God will keep it. Moreover, and furthermore, we'll break the promise, and God will find a way for us to put us back, maybe with the punishment, but put us back because he loves his people. He loves the world. We should grow with God's grace, wisdom, love, and truth. In 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, we read, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Brethren, these are words we should remember, and these are words not only to the young people, that from childhood we should know Holy Scriptures. Because where we can get it from if we are 7, 8, 10? This is our job, brethren. In our classes, in our gatherings, remembering about the little ones. Give them that knowledge. So they will be taught in the scriptures, and they will know those scriptures, because the tough times will come. Sometimes tough times will come a little later. Sometimes tough times will come maybe in their teenage age. They will have a very difficult time. And then where they will get that water to refresh? If we will not give them that, if we will not teach them, this is our responsibility. We have to do everything we can to teach them about God's ways, about his promises, about his law. In Romans 15:4 we read, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. Whatever was written before, it was written for us. Very powerful words. And I must tell that many times, if I see that bright minds of this world came to some conclusion, and they realize something, how to fix the problems in society. They have a sessions how to fix the problems in the families. They're coming up with the ways they realize that, you know, you should wash your hands. When they realized that? A couple hundred years ago? And when it was written before? Whatever was written, it's there. They are coming to conclusions. They are coming to ideas. They are studying the books and everything, and they are coming to conclusions. I listen to it in my mind. This is the scripture. This is how it was written before. Yet, sometimes people have to go through their own learning to come to these conclusions throughout the ages, hundreds and thousands of years to come to it. You probably heard about how in the Middle Ages, cities were actually wiped out because of the diseases, just because lack of the hygiene. Read in the Old Testament what our Lord said. What did he say? I am the Lord. You will not keep your waste inside of the camp, because I am the Lord and I'm coming through it. Take it outside and bury it. When was it? 50 years ago? No. Many years ago. We have an example from the New Testament where our Lord and disciples and also the Pharisees, they were aware of washing the hands. It was 1,000 years ago, brethren. Israel, during those Middle Ages, there was one example where the whole city was sick and wiping out, and Israel community was not. And they were blamed for it. They were blamed that the whole disease comes because of the Jews, because everybody else is sick, not Jews. How did that happen? Miracle. No, they were following the Lord's law, what was written a long time ago. That's how his law is good. It's not to put us in the burden. It's to help us out. And where can we learn it? In the house of the Lord. In his temple, together on our meetings with brethren. We should respect the house of God. In words, building each other in love. 1 Peter 2:5, saying, 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as the lively stones are built up in spiritual house, and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, not from us, but by Jesus Christ. Not straight from us. We need the Lord. We are not somebody special. We are bought. Somebody paid a very high price for us. 1 Corinthians 6:17, we read, but he that is joined us, the Lord, is one spirit. One spirit, let us join together into the Lord. Spirit is one. Truth is one. Why is it so important that there is one spirit? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption inherit incorruption. That spirit is changing us. It's changing our human nature and human approaches in many things. 2 Timothy 2:22-23. 2 Timothy 2:22-23. There's lots of good advices in the letter of Timothy. I like that letter a lot because it's Apostle Paul gives a lot of good advices to beloved Timothy. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of the pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Youthful lusts. This is a danger of the younger age, where we would like to have this or that, go here and there. But I think we should remember about what the real treasure is. And again, Solomon is showing how precious are those things on this earth. It's just a rust and moth. But follow the righteousness and those old things which will last forever and which make us better. In behavior on the meeting, we have to remember this is a God's meeting with his people. And we should remember to give the praise and honor to God. And in Acts 13 chapter and 22nd verse, we read, and when he had removed him, he raised up to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I had found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That was David. He loved the Lord all his heart. A very good example to follow. Maybe not in his fall, in when he was falling, maybe not in his sins. He was a man. He was a man who inherited Adamic sin as well. But the big difference in David's life and behavior was repentance. He did not need a whole bunch of people to come to him and say, you did this and that, and this is wrong. And he said, no, it's not me. No, it was not David. Prorok Nathan came to him and he tell him the story. And what David said, this man is guilty of death. And he realized who he was. He was repenting right away. Lord, I have committed sin. Forgive me. I want to get better. And that's the way we should look in our ways. Once we fail, sometimes we'll trip over because we didn't watch our steps. We didn't guard our feet. Because the righteous man is falling how many times? Seven. And raises up again, right? So in other words, the righteous man is raising seven times. Yes, but he falls seven times. Let's remember about it. We are not free from falling. But we have to raise, repent, and tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned and I want to get better. And through our Lord Jesus, we have opportunity to move on. That's how we should be. Coming on the meetings, we should fulfill His will. Coming to His temple. To live and God will follow the rules and God will follow the God's will and follow the rules of His law. In Psalm 73:28, we read, but it is good for me to draw near God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare thy works. David put his trust in the Lord. Not only faith, but trust. He knew that God will fulfill his promises. And we will read Psalm 91 from 9 to 11. It's saying that God is good and protect us if we are in accordance with His law and with His rules, with His will, if we'll follow it. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's the promise, brethren. And if something does not go our ways, it doesn't mean that the Lord is not taking care of us in that moment. Maybe our ways are not His ways. Maybe we want to go the way which our Lord knows this is not the right one. And He will give us a little stone on our way to get us back, then bigger one, and maybe the big one where we'll trip over and hurt ourselves very well and hit the head on it and say, oh, that's not the way. But He has His angels going after and watching over us. Sometimes we are really very hard focused on different things than when we should. And whatsoever we do, we should do as we are doing for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 40:40, we read, let all things be done decently and in order. That's in the temple of God. Place where we meet with God is holy. As we read, God said to Moses in Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou stands is holy ground. We should guard our steps, because we are stepping on the holy ground once we are coming into the house of the Lord. We should take off our shoes. There was a very nice discourse. Take off your shoes. You may look it up. we should take off our shoes, not only for comfort, but because also they may be dirty. Let's not bring that dirty things once we are coming to meet with the Lord and His people in His temple. And we should be doing those things, what we are learning in that house of the Lord. Because faith without doings is dead. James 1:22 to 24 we read, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholds himself and goes away, and straightway forget what manner of man he was." We are sometimes coming to the meetings, our head is spinning with all the troubles, everything. These are those shoes. Let's take them off. And let's assimilate all the good word of God. But not only to hear. And not deceive. Let's not be like this. We'll go out and we'll forget about what we learned. What Brother Jean told us yesterday. What Brother John told us today. What Brother Zendler told us. It's not that we are here, we're in the church, check. No, we have to live it. We have to live that truth and put it to work on every day of the week in our lives. Why? Matthew 5:14 is the answer. "Ye are the light of the world," being a good example to everybody, showing the truth. Guard your steps. Let's read that scripture again from two translations. King James and then New American Standard. Ecclesiastes 5:1. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." New American Standard, it says, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. And draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they don't know they are doing evil." If we think about those words, well, we have a sacrifice, right? Yes, we should sacrifice our lives, do this and that. We are sacrificing this and that. We are coming to the house of God. And here we are saying that it could be a sacrifice of fool. These are kind of the harsh words. This is our sacrifice. How come the wisest man on earth, Solomon, is talking here and showing this as a sacrifice of the fool? I think this is the advice showing that we should listen. And we should do it from our heart and live up to the words we are learning. And this is not like in some maybe cases, we will do whatever we can because on Sunday we'll bring this and that to sacrifice. And then we can do it again without even thinking about it. And have this kind of insurance policy that maybe on the meeting or Sunday or something, we'll do this and that. And it will cover that things what we have done. We should live with this with an honest heart. The advice was given by the wisest person in the first king. We read about it in 3:12. And this advice is for everybody. For children, for youth, for adults. And for late years, seniors as well. Meaning, guarding our steps. If we are young, we cannot say, oh, I'm young and, you know, it doesn't really matter. I have to learn things anyways, so I can be forgiven on that. Maybe we'll say, well, I'm older, so everybody should respect me on that. We should all show respect to His people during the gathering. Even in other gatherings, people are showing respect different ways. For example, we had a trip to the Rome, and during that trip, we decided, well, since we are there, we would like to see the Basilica of St. Peter. It was way hotter day than today. So I was in shorts and t-shirts, and, you know, we are really comfortable and lightly dressed. So we went into the main office to get entrance to the Basilica, and the lady says, you are not going there. We said, why we are not? Well, you are not dressed properly. You have to cover yourself. And we didn't go. We went there next day. We learned the lesson. Well, I don't want to say about that we must come to the meeting and wear this and that color of our suit or color of the tie, because the red one will not be good. The blue one is good. No, it's not that. Because if we'll go that far, we should all wear robes today. Right? Because in the days of our Lord, the pants were considered not proper. It's not that. It's about how you're showing respect to each other. If you're going to the concert, we are going to see some celebrity or some important person at work where our employment belongs, no, it depends on it, how we are presenting ourselves. I don't think we'll go in the jeans and sandals. I think we'll at least show that we are looking good. And that's how we should present to each other and to the Lord in the house of the Lord as well. But the most important is the spiritual dress, how we come in and showing the respect. Showing the respect. Brother John, thank you so much for your discourse. It was really nice once you were touched on the thing of pointing fingers. Our God gave us 5 fingers. We are using just one to point. We have another one to hold 3 other fingers. And remember, brother, that was told me by one of the brother. You point finger to somebody, hold tight this one, how many fingers point at you? 3. Remember about that. Before you point the finger. And did I say something new? No. Our Lord said already, you are looking for a piece, little piece in your brother's eye. And you don't see your beam in your eye. Again, see, some people are coming to the ideas which are already written. Let's remember it once next time we'll say, you are doing though, oh, the 3 are at my A, my point. Let's remember it. We should use scriptures to help and encourage others, and not, as it was shown earlier, to trap and accuse them. In Mark 9:42, our Lord said, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged on his neck and he were cast into the sea. Think about those words. If you offend one of the little ones, it's so serious that it's better for yourself to put the stone and drown. It would be better. Very powerful words. 1 John 4:20, which I always quote just the first half of it. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, we all know what comes after. And we don't want to be the name after our advisory, a liar. Brethren, our time is coming up. I just would like to also touch on one more subject. When should we start taking care of building of ourselves? Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. These are very powerful words nowadays, where everything is fine. We cannot tell our children this or that, because it's going to be stressful. We cannot put too much on them, because, you know, they will tell others and we can get into the trouble. We'll not be a cool parent. We will be very cool parents and will be very good parents if we will put the God's law in their heart. And we'll put that yoke of the God's law on our young ones' shoulders. It's not heavy, because we will learn that from the childhood. Matthew 11:29. What our Lord said: "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Brethren, his yoke is light, because he promised that he will help us out. And we will learn it from the young days. We will pass it on to our children, to our young ones. We'll help them out, because like Israel was saved from many bad and wrong things and sicknesses, following God's law will save us from many other disastrous things in our days. And we should think about that, taking care of the young ones, not only about young in age. Let's think about ourselves, if we are setting a good example to those children. Example for zeal, for serving the Lord, but not only to our children, because there are also young ones, not only in age, but young ones in the truth. The little ones. Let's not forget what was said about that stone and about making the bad choices. I would like to close with the Psalm 84, verses 4 to 5. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. May our Lord bless you all richly, and may you enjoy coming into the house of the Lord. May the Lord add to you.